You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a night. Welcome in to, well, a lit post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for post-game and daily commentary on the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben DuBose. What a special night it was out at Toyota Center Sunday night. Rockets improving to 8-3 on the season with a 137-110 win over the Utah Jazz. A pretty good team, 5-4 entering this game, ranked third in the NBA in terms of defensive efficiency. So when you can score 137 points on a team like that, certainly it's special. But it wasn't just a team win, although you'll certainly take it. Rockets now 8-3 on the year, still tied for the best record in the Western Conference. But beyond that, folks, James Harden, arguably the most brilliant performance of his entire career. 56 points on 19 of 25 shooting and 13 assists. Because 9 of his 13 assists were for made three-pointers, he directly contributed to 91 points tonight. Again, against the number 3 defense entering the game in the NBA in terms of efficiency. That is remarkable production from James Harden. Again, he was great shooting the ball, 19 of 25, 7 of 8 from behind the arc. He was great as a facilitator as well. That's what's great. He didn't go into volume shooter mode. And if anything, the numbers might have actually been a little bit artificially deflated because the Rockets had such a big lead in this game. What ended up happening, Harden did finish 1 point short of the Rockets franchise record held by Calvin Murphy of 57 points. And it was essentially because the Rockets had such a big lead after three quarters. This is one game out of 82. You're not going to want to overextend. The Rockets were not going to play their starters up 30 in the final minutes of the fourth quarter. That's garbage time for the guys like Joe Chi, Demetrius Jackson at the end of the bench to get a little bit of run at that point. And thankfully they did based on this big win for the Rockets. But because of that, Harden was actually at 56 points after the first few seconds of the fourth quarter. He stayed in a little longer. Usually you guys know how this goes. He rests for 6 minutes, typically early in the second and fourth quarters. There can be sometimes a little bit of variance in that, but he certainly does not play 18 to 24 minutes consecutively. By the last few possessions, he was clearly trying to get to that 58, maybe to 60. He ran out of gas a little bit. His last three shots ended up short, also had a couple of turnovers in there. But folks, if the game were more competitive, then I absolutely think you would have had your normal usage, which means take him out at the end of the third and then bring him back at about the six-minute mark in the fourth quarter. So if this were a normal game, then yeah, he would have had that six-minute closing kick, and yeah, he probably gets to 60-plus. So really, he did this in basically three quarters. He accounted for 91 points of offense. That is absolutely obscene. He did it in every way. Of course, he hit the 3, 7 of 8, but he attacked the rim. He was 12 of 14 inside the arc against a Utah Jazz defense anchored by Rudy Gobert, the best rim protector in the league. Again, the third-ranked team in terms of defensive efficiency. I know the Jazz lost a little bit this year in terms of Gordon Hayward's exit to Boston, so they're not quite the overall team they were last year when they were arguably the fourth best in the West, right behind the big three, the Rockets being the third. But defensively, certainly with Rudy Gobert, that's their identity. And to see Harden 12 of 14 inside the arc in the first three quarters, I'm basically counting 19 of 22 as his final stat line because the last three were just sort of hanging in there for hopes of getting the record. But ultimately, even though he didn't get the record, and by the way, is there any doubt that if Russell Westbrook is a point away that I shouldn't say just for us, a lot of guys, I think, would have individually pushed to come back in late to get that record. They tried it for a couple of minutes with Harden, but, you know, he didn't get it. And rather than try and force the issue, he's okay with coming up 1 point short. Because, first off, individual brilliance is not what the Rockets are about. They're trying to do it within a team construct. And certainly, Harden's rest over the course of 82 games and hopefully 4 playoff series is more important. But beyond that, I don't think that it's quite in his DNA the way it is for a lot of other guys to just glorify, you know, stat hogging is the best way to put it. Yeah, it was a great game for him, but it was a great game because it happened within the flow of the offense. It wasn't like he was just going to keep shooting until a few got down so that he could say he got to 58 and get the franchise record or get 60 for the sake of getting 60. He could tell he didn't have it, and when he didn't, well, the Rockets took him out of the game and he wasn't arguing to try and get back in just for the sake of, you know, adding a couple of points to the final box score. So credit to James for that. Part of what makes this line so brilliant is the otherworldly efficiency. Again, 19 of 25 overall, but 19 of 22 in the first three quarters, 7 of 8 from behind the arc, 12 of 14 on his first 14 inside of it. Also got to the line 12 times. That's the other big thing that's perked up for James in the past week. I think through the first 8 games or so, he was averaging below 5 free throw attempts per game, which is very unlike James, and maybe part of it's the new rules. But part of it, he just wasn't taking the contact that he has in the past. He wasn't driving with as much of a purpose. Well, boy, that's changed in the last two games. 10 on Friday, 12 tonight. So it's as good of a night as you could hope for. It's not like he just went out and hit a lot of threes and then that's just the way it went. No, on top of all of that, he was driving to the rim. He was making plays happen off the dribble, found open three-point shooters, found Nene for a couple of jams. Nene was one of your other storyline players, I would say, 13 points in his 19 minutes off the bench, but just an otherworldly night for James Harden, and really, he was the story. Did have some contributors besides him. Let's give some credit to Eric Gordon, another smooth night, 20 points, 6 rebounds. Eric actually didn't score in the first quarter, and then all of his 20 points, 6 of 11 from 3, came after the first quarter. The Jazz were hanging around for a while, but James Harden was brilliant from the start, had 22 points on 8 of 8 shooting in the first, and then when you had those secondary players kick in, like Eric Gordon with his 20, like Nene with his 13 and 4 in 19 minutes, that was enough to where the Jazz were just overwhelmed, and eventually you end up with a 30-point margin and cruising to a 27-point win. And really, most impressively of all for the Rockets, it's the third consecutive win in blowout fashion. So that, to me, speaks volumes when you're talking about not just an isolated game, but it's three games in a row where the Rockets have come out and, excuse my language, but come out and kick the other team's ass. That's just how good they are when they play at their best. And by the way, they don't even have Chris Paul. Tonight, they didn't even have Luke Bamute in the second half, left with a sore knee. I'm not really that concerned about it because we heard about the sore knee at the half. Luke did try and play. He was a little gimpy. I think between him being a little gimpy, the comfortable lead, and the fact that the Rockets don't play again until Thursday, there's no reason for him to fight through it. Just let it heal up, and hopefully by Thursday he'll be fine. I don't think they're particularly worried about it since they put him back in the game. But even in a night where James Harden was this brilliant, yeah, it still took a team effort. And so because they got that effort, by the way, I want to throw a shout out to Trevor Ariza, another solid night for him. 5 of 10 from the field, 14 points, 4 of 8 from 3. That's in the last three games, he's shooting 50% from the field and about 40% from 3. That is a tremendous uptick in production from the first few games, even before the foot sprain, when he was, to put it mildly, sluggish. And it's possible that maybe the foot sprain happened even a little earlier than we know, and certainly small sample size, a lot of randomness, but I know there were fears. Trevor is 32 years old, and this is an age where a lot of players, at some point, there is a decline in performance. It wasn't the best start to the year for Trevor, and despite all of his success here in Houston, it's only fair to wonder at 32, is this the time? Well, it's only three games, but certainly to see three games in a row this efficient for him, I think that tells you that foot is feeling a lot better, and hopefully the reason for the slow start had a lot to do physically as well, because this is the Trevor Ariza that we've seen really the first half of last year, and when he's at his best, he's also contributing defensively as well. Other than Donovan Mitchell for the Jazz, no one really got going for them in this one all that well. Well, inside, you know, certainly Rudy Gobert, 13 points, Derek Favors, 12, but other than Donovan Mitchell, not much going defense on the perimeter, and the Rockets' perimeter defense was a big reason for that, led by Trevor Ariza. So he's shooting the ball better, his defense is perking up as well. So yeah, as much of a brilliant game as this was for James Harden, and I would say, considering the opponent, it might be the finest of his career, because yeah, I know there's the 53, 17, and 16 game that he had on New Year's Eve last year against the Knicks, but that's the Knicks. They're a joke, especially defensively. This is a team anchored by Rudy Gobert, one of the best in the league. To do this to them, boy, that is remarkably impressive. So yes, this is James Harden's night. We're going to even talk about him more in just a few moments. But before I get to all James Harden, I did want to throw a little bit of a shout out to the supporting cast, because when you win by 27 points and you have three consecutive blowouts in a row, which the Rockets now 8-3 on the year have had, you don't do that with just a one-man show. So certainly the likes of Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Nene, your veteran role players, they did their job tonight as well. Really, you can go up and down the roster. Ryan hit 2 of his 4 threes. Nice to see hashtag home Ryan get going. Clint Capella had 8-8 against Rudy Gobert. Only had to play 22 minutes, but 8-8 against Gobert on 3 of 5 shooting. Yeah, you'll take that. Even made his free throws again as well. And then, you know, you can go up and down the roster. I thought P.J. Tucker, 9 rebounds in his 30 minutes. His energy was a lot better. Also hit a 3. Really hit 2 threes. One of them was waved off because his back heel was out of balance on the shot. But yeah, it was a team win for the Rockets. You don't win by 27 without it. So yeah, don't want to go too long with without acknowledging those other factors. But big picture, yeah, this night was about James Harden. It's a career night. So to talk even more about that, I've actually got a treat for you guys. David Locke, he's, of course, kind of the godfather of this Locked On Podcast Network. He hosts Locked On Jazz, Locked On NBA. His cachet, he's the lead radio broadcaster for the Utah Jazz. You can follow him at Locked On Sports on Twitter. He was in town, of course, because, well, the Rockets were doing this against the Jazz. And besides David, the TV color commentator for the Jazz is Ron Boone, a former player himself. David and Ron, good friends, but they're guys, you know, certainly they're Jazz broadcasters, but they're Jazz broadcasters with a lot of knowledge of the league as a whole. They're not homers. They are very smart and savvy basketball minds. So to do sort of a simulcast here between the Jazz radio and TV post-game and us here at Locked On Rockets, we've got kind of a three-man booth coming up between myself, David, and Ron. So if you bear with me momentarily, I will be joined right now by David Locke and Ron Boone. I'm tired. It's been a busy night, a busy weekend in Houston, really a busy few weeks after the success of the Astros, and those guys were honored tonight too. Standing ovation for AJ Hinch, Lance McCullers, Dallas Keuchel, Jake Marisdick, Mike Fiers. Just an electric night all the way around here in Houston. Dynamo actually advancing in the MLS playoffs as well. So just a spectacular night here in Houston. James Harden was certainly the lead figure in that, though. So without further ado, we're getting them set up, and then we will have David Locke and Ron Boone of the Jazz with you momentarily right here on Locked On Rockets.
This is Ben DeBose, the host of Locked On Rockets, joins us on a night in which James Harden was as good as anyone has ever been, arguably, in NBA history offensively. The numbers are right up there. The only player to ever score more points on 25 shot attempts is Michael Jordan, when he scored 58. Calvin Murphy's the only Rocket to ever score more with 57. Before Harden missed his last three shots, only Willie Burton had ever scored 50 points in 20 or fewer shots.
Well, there's a name from the past.
Willie Burton has never been mentioned in NBA circles until tonight. Obviously, Wilt Chamberlain has his nights, but then Ben found the, with a little help, he got a final exam. He earned his money tonight. The most incredible note of the night is that James Harden directly contributed to 91 points tonight. 9 of the 13 assists he had were three-pointers. Ron, you have been in this league for 50 years, and the two nice ladies who just met you are trying to figure that out because they think you're like 60 years old, and you're not. And so the answer is, of all, you've seen a lot of performance. You were there when Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf went off for 50 in the Delta Center. Carl Anthony with 50 the next night. You saw Kobe 60. Ray Allen had an incredible night we both saw with 50-something. Where's this one rank? And then go back to some of your Rick Barry and other nights you saw. Where does this one rank in the nights you've ever seen?
All of those games rank very, very high. All of those games are memorable. And the reason they are is because you enjoy good basketball. You enjoy watching guys when they get hot. And it just makes it fun to watch. And sure, Kobe's 60-point night, I mean, it meant nothing. But he went off for 60, and that was his going-away party to score 60 points. That was fun to watch. I've been on the opposite side of Rick Barry scoring 50, and I think I was guarding him most of the time. But, you know, that it's just fun to watch when someone is that hot, and you can just, as the next player, put yourself in those shoes. It's like, you know, everything you grew up is think is going in the basket.
As a player, did he know when he came in the arena tonight? Did it just happen?
I don't think so. No, you really don't. But you feel it out there on the floor. And what do you have, 22 in the first quarter?
Yep.
4 3-point shots. And he knew he had things going. He knew what was guarding him, and he knew that, okay, I can beat whoever's guarding me certain ways. And he just flat out got it done. If you got that 3-point shot falling, man, that's just such a tremendous asset, because now I can take you off the dribble when I get ready. I can use screens, and he's never in a hurry. He has a tempo, a pace of his game where he just all of a sudden he can explode by you and get a layup, or he can just step back and knock down a three. I mean, you just don't know how to defend
that. The thing that really floored me about it, and I'd love to get y'all's take since y'all follow Jazz on a regular basis, but I'm discounting the last three shots he missed in the fourth quarter because he was pretty clearly out of gas by that point. He stayed in. He usually rests the start of the second, start of the fourth quarters, and they kept him in trying to break Calvin Murphy's record. Came out 1 point short. Rockets franchise record, 57 points. Finished 56. But 19 of 22 through the first three quarters, and that included, he was 7 of 8 from behind the arc. They were 12 of 14 from inside the arc. And what really impressed me most about this, he had success attacking the rim against Rudy Gobert. Yeah. That is really hard to do.
Right. Well, go back to it. I mean, the numbers have to even out. He missed his first 20 shots of the season in the paint non-restricted area. He went 0 for 20 to start the year. Those were the shots he started the night making. Ben, on the broadcast, I kind of said to you, like, the Jazz are getting the shots they want out of the Rockets.
He just made them. And the other thing that sticks out amongst Rockets fans, the two games I've seen as far as the quintessential Harden games, there's this one, and there's a game on New Year's Eve last year. He had 53, 17, and 16 against the Knicks. Just a ridiculous overall stat line. And, you know, of course, he had the rebound, so it's the nice round triple-double, which everybody loves. Cough, Russell Westbrook. But
Rocket fans are still bitter.
just a little bit. But, no, seriously, the difference in that, that was against the Knicks. This is against Rudy Gobert. That's what kind of, to me, makes this one even better, is that not only you have this line, you had success driving to the rim against, what, the Jazz are tonight, third best in the league in defense, right?
So let me ask,
this is what it looks like. It looks like he's not working very hard when he gets it done.
Yeah.
Before you go into, you know, some of your numbers here, let me pass along something else here. Years ago, there was a Calvin Murphy had the most consecutive free throws made by an NBA player. And I'm trying to remember the guy's name that was approaching him. I think it may have been Michael Adams or someone like that. I really can't remember. But the joke was that Calvin Murphy didn't want him to make it, and he had this voodoo doll that he was sticking cans in to keep him from breaking the record.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. There's a great shot from Julia Morales, the Rockets sideline reporter of Calvin tonight, because he's doing pre and post game, and he was looking very anxious. And it was at 56 minutes, hanging out.
He was taking parts of his sleeve. I saw him moving his jacket in a way to try to put a glare off the sequins on his jacket into James Harden's eyes. He missed the final shot. So there is a chance that Calvin, with a jacket that, you know, that he displayed on the pregame show, on our Facebook Live before the game, may have actually done that. So you went toward it a little bit. But let me ask you from a Rockets perspective, like, is this the best you've ever seen from him?
I think so, when you adjust for the opponent. I've never seen him that efficient, that smooth. And the thing that I keep going back to with this, if it was a normal game, I really think he breaks 60. Because what ended up happening in this one, because the margin actually is what saved Calvin's record. Because what ended up happening, he's at 56 and 13, pretty much at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So rather than the usual substitution pattern where you rest him for 6 minutes, then he comes in for that final 6 minute closing kick, instead what happened, they were trying to get him the record and he ran out of gas because he never got the break. And of course they weren't going to bring him back with a 25 plus point lead in the last 6 minutes, because that's just not what you do.
And I was surprised that at that time it was 4 of the 5 starters that was on the floor with him.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of smart of D'Antoni, because that would make it a little bit easier, I think, for him to get it.
But if this were a normal game, I think he gets to 60. I really do. If it's a normal substitution pattern, when you look at that level of efficiency, I mean, he basically had 56 points, 91 accounted for in three quarters. Because, the three minutes played in the fourth, he basically wasn't really much of an impact, because you could tell he was gassed. It's early in the year. What is it? It's November 5th. And, he's not conditioned to play an entire half at this point. But when you adjust for that, just an incredible night.
Clay had 52 in that incredible shooting night against Sacramento when he had the huge quarter. And then 37 point quarter, and Steve Kerr didn't play him in the fourth. I'm remembering some conversations of where that ranked of all-time amount of points that you ever had in three quarters. So this is one of the great first three quarters scoring outputs in the history of the league.
He had 50...
What? By 56, 52, 54, 50. Well, they had, when we went, they missed that bucket, remember? So I think he had 52 or 54, depending on how they looked at it, and then they fixed it. And then he scored one more field goal. Well, let me ask you one last question on this, Ron.
He had one layup at the beginning of the fourth. I think he had 54 through three, and then the last two, first possession of the fourth, and then after that's when he seemed to run out of gas.
Did the Jazz do anything wrong in this regard? Was there something wrong with the way Jazz played?
Quinn's going to look at this and say, we should have done this. But I don't think there's anything differently could have done. And I was telling Boulder on TV that if I was Quinn, and I wouldn't even show this film. I'd work on something different for the next game. Let me back that up. When we get ready to play him the next game, that's when I would bring the film out. I wouldn't even I'd go in the locker room, okay, get dressed, let's go home. I wouldn't talk about this game at all. because there was nothing they could do about it.
Last question for me, and this is for either one of you guys. David, you talked about on the broadcast, you know, James Harden is 99.9% of the story. The other 0.1, I would say, Eric Gordon, another good, actually didn't even score in the first quarter, ended up with 20, very efficient, 6-11 from 3, all that stuff. David, the one question you raised, and it's a fair one, what happens when Chris Paul comes back and Eric Gordon goes from the number 2 to the number 3, and more than that, goes from the guy who's the clear number 1 when Harden isn't in the game to the number 2 at all times? What's your thought on that? How do they integrate Eric Gordon and Chris Paul once Chris eventually returns?
You mean how do you integrate Chris Paul?
Well, that's another way of looking at it, buddy.
I mean, obviously Chris Paul is an all-star, and maybe down the line he's a Hall of Famer somewhere, but I don't know. Gordon goes back to the bench, and the reason I like that is that he's a threat to come up with big numbers, and I love guys that can come off the bench for any team that is a threat, and he's a part of the scouting report. Now, he can still get the minutes. If they're using a three-guard rotation, he can still get 30 minutes a game, you know, with them. Because I did read an article where they said they like Gordon because in the lineup because they can switch all over the floor a lot of times, and he's a player that, you know, can put points on them.
I think you changed the dynamic of the conversation. The question is no longer how Chris Paul integrates with James Harden, because this is James Harden's team and he needs the ball. It's how Chris Paul integrates with Eric Gordon, and that is probably the bigger question, though. Chris Paul's made plenty of shooting guards into decent J.J. Redick and others into pretty good players.
Very true.
Set to Eric Gordon.
He's having a pretty good year over there with Philadelphia, isn't it?
That wraps up Postcast tonight. Historic night here in Houston. Jazz on the wrong side of it, but it was pretty awesome. That wraps us up on the Jazz Radio Network.
That's David Locke and Ron Boone of the Jazz Radio and Television Networks. Thanks to them for joining me. As y'all could tell, it was a joint, kind of a simulcast between us here at Locked On Rockets and, of course, the Jazz for their radio and TV. But boy, I thought that was a good get for us as well here at Locked On Rockets, because what a historic night it was. So I figured you guys would enjoy not just my side, because, of course, those of us in Houston know just how great this night was for James Harden and the Rockets. But certainly to hear that kind of perspective from, well, national folks, from an organization in Utah that knows a thing or two about playing defense, again, entered today third in the league in defensive efficiency. So when you have a team known for defense, give that level of credit to the opponent for being that good. Well, I think that shows you just how special this night was at Toyota Center. Don't know how better to sum it up than that, so I will leave things right there. As always, thanks to you guys, my loyal listeners here at Locked On Rockets, for tuning in. If you're not already following me or the show on Twitter, please do so at Ben Dubose or at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Once again, happy, happy final from Toyota Center. Rockets 137, Jazz 110. Rockets now 8-3 on the season after 11 games. Still tops in the Western Conference. Now have 3 days off to kind of enjoy this for a few days, feel good about themselves. Hopefully not too good, because you got a big challenge. Not that the Cavs are playing that well, but certainly it's LeBron James. That's always a challenge waiting Thursday night, nationally televised game here at Toyota Center. And I will be talking with you again, well, certainly then, but I'm sure since we're a daily podcast, we'll be talking with you again plenty before that matchup Thursday night as well. Until then, have a good night, Houston. Look forward to talking with you again very soon. Enjoy your start to the week.